Hello.
What's up?
Hey. What's happening, my friend?
How you feeling there, buddy?
Oh man, it's the tail of the tummy, let me tell you.
Yeah.
Oh yeah.
What's your tummy telling you?
Buddy, I thought I had the Rona. It's bad, man. I mean, so bad that I even had to, like, call into work. I'm just like, no, there's no way I'm leaving upstairs. Like, I'm either sitting on the bed the way our setup is, it's about 10 feet away from the bathroom. So sitting on the bed waiting to go into the bathroom or sitting either on the toilet or right beside the toilet, depending on what's going on. Front or back end. I was a front end and back end developer on that day, but I wasn't developing fun stuff. It was terrible, dude.
Oh man, I could throw in a Pornhub joke in here, but I won't.
You can. I don't mind.
No, I won't.
It'd be one thing if I went to the old White Castles and had like a big, you know, sack full of 50 or something.
Yeah, you eat healthy, man. What's up?
I know, dude. I'm the only one, like, losing weight. Everyone else is putting on, like, quarantine 15, you know? And I'm, like, I'm losing weight left and right. Like, I'm ready to go down another belt size. Like, this would be my second one. I've already done one belt loop, and I'm ready to go down to a second belt loop.
Are you growing a beard?
No.
Oh.
Lean and mean, my friend. Lean and mean.
Oh, okay.
And then the wife did a little experimental haircut on me.
I saw that.
I know, which is now going to be the punk pompadour. But yet, do I want to go into the rockabilly? Like, to commit yourself to almost a rockabilly, punk rockabilly thing, that takes a lot. Not that I'm not a fancy lad. I mean, that's well established.
Mm-hmm.
But, dude, do I want to be going back to spending, like, 10 minutes on my hair? I don't know if I do.
See?
It's so nice to fall back on, like, it's a short haircut. What can you do with it other than running water through it? Not much. Like, oh, it's so nice.
That's exactly why I buzz mine.
Yeah, I get it.
You know, I just take the clippers, number two, number three, whatever, depends how I feel, and just buzz it every couple of weeks.
I just know, and I even told Julie, the cruise director, before she did the pompadour, I'm like, maybe I should just go completely bald head. Just shave the whole thing. And she's like, you have such a big melon that it would look insanely crazy. That's why I can't wear baseball hats, because they look like I'm putting on a child's baseball cap. My head, my skull is so damn big. I've been this way. Like, you even look at like my little league photos and it looks like there's never ever a cap that's been like, that's too big. Like, I never have that Jerry Lewis comedy hat that just like falls down like all the way to my eyeballs. Never happens. I look like Stan Laurel with the really small hat. I almost look like a pinhead. It's just like, ugh, terrible.
You're like a bobblehead.
I am. I'm like a Pop Funko head. Sadly.
Oh man, that's awesome.
Oh,
I don't know, man. I like it. I like the cut. Thanks. You should wear an ascot with it at all times.
Buddy, are you crazy? I mean, shoot, right now I have like three handkerchiefs around me, so I'm inches away.
I bet you do. I've considered shaving my head again.
Nice.
Yeah, I thought about it.
Is that sort of like for a summer thing? Because I could see shaving it in the summer would just make you hyper cool. But then in the winter, you'd be so cold.
So I shaved my head. When was it? I don't know. Sometime last year, I shaved my head. Never in my life had I shaved my head. And I was worried, like, what will I look like if I shave my head? So because I was scared of what I would look like bald, I decided as a mindfulness exercise to shave my head.
Oh, preemptive strike.
You see what I mean? And then I was like, it's just hair. My head's still there. Like, whatever. You know what I mean?
Sure.
So it was fine. But the thing about shaving your head, Nick, is that you have to shave it like two or three times a week.
For sure.
You know, it's like if you don't have a beard, you have to shave your face every couple of days.
Oh, buddy, I can grow a beard like no. I'm like Grizzly Adams with a beard. No problem. The problem is my hair is thin.
That's
my
true.
My hair would grow back. I mean, honestly, I think I'd have to shave it about 4 to 5 times if I wanted to keep it nice and neat.
Mm.
4 to 5 times a week because it just grows. But the problem is it's thin.
Yeah, yeah.
Like if I could have my facial hair up on my head, I'll forget about it.
See, my hair is so thick, I don't worry about that.
There you go. Lucky you. Good genetics.
And the thing is...
Thank you, Nelson.
Thank you. Well, actually, I get my hair from my mom, so...
Thank you, Mom, for...
but now that I have this luxurious beard,
yes.
I'm thinking about shaving my head again. Because the last time I shaved it, I just had my trimmed beard. You know what I mean? Like, I trimmed it fairly short. Mm-hmm. But now that I have this big, bushy beard, I'm thinking about shaving my head. I'm a little concerned that I might look like a barbarian. So if I go somewhere, they might think that I'm going to pull out my axe, you know what I mean, and just start whacking them with it.
They're either going to think that you're Triple H from WWE or a Viking, which
yes.
I think either of those would be pretty cool.
Well, I agree. And the thing is, I have red hair in my beard.
Hell yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah, we talked about that. Yeah, we both have tufts of red.
Yeah, yeah. Matter of fact, like it'd been gone for a while, but I was looking in the mirror the other day when I was applying my beard oil, and I noticed the red's coming back, man. It's coming
nice.
Back. It's nice.
Nice.
So I don't know. We'll see.
Do you have the eHeart special with that oil?
What did I get? I got some new oil just to try it out.
Oh, nice.
Because I was doing some grocery shopping. And I needed deodorant, so I went to the hygiene section, and I noticed they had beard oil there now, and I was like, I'm gonna try this, and it's fine. I don't think it's good as good as the argan oil. Like, it doesn't smell as good.
Gotcha.
Right, the argan oil is like fruity, and this is more citrusy.
Mm.
But it's fine.
But
it's
still fine. Better than smelling White Castles on your breath.
Dude, we don't have White Castle here.
Well, whatever you have down there, the Piggly Wiggly hot dog special.
Piggly Wiggly? They've been shut down for like 20 years.
The Hooters. I don't know. I don't know what you have around. The Hooters buffalo wings smell that's stuck in your beard hair.
We do have that. We also have Twin Peaks, which
yes,
is like
Yes, we have that too. Yeah, yes, that's yes. Terrible.
Never been there.
You're not missing much.
I'm sure.
Yeah.
I'm sure. It's sad, though, because the local strip club is finally shut down.
Oh, no! They've been Rona'd?
I mean, I guess. I don't know. I haven't been there in 15 years.
Did you see the strip club that, I believe it was in the parking lot of a strip club where patrons, dancers would be up on platforms outside with masks on dancing while guys are in their car driving around.
I saw
pictures on Twitter last week. I was like, oh my God, guys, come on. Go to the internet, please. What are you doing? What are you doing? Jesus Christ.
That's amazing. That is really amazing.
So crazy. So crazy. So now with your bald head and big beard, were you the inspiration for Kevin James's new film?
Oh my God. So did you watch the trailer?
Hey, I mean, am I the king of segues over here? Look at me. Come on.
Yes, I am the Kevin James of the South now.
Move over, Becky.
I told my wife to watch it, and I told her the same thing I told you. I was like, if you want to see Kevin James in a serious role, check this trailer out. And she's like, isn't Kevin James canceled? And I'm like, I don't know. What's he canceled for?
Yeah.
And she's like, I don't know. Isn't he like a creep? And like, I don't know. He's in Hollywood. He's probably a creep. You know what I mean?
Sure.
I have no idea.
Comes up power.
Yeah. Anyways, apparently he's a creep.
His entire life because of his body image, I'm sure. And then all of a sudden he gets all this power. So yeah, could I see creep developing? Sure.
Mm, isn't that normal? I was just having this conversation with somebody in one of the Discord channels that I'm on. Because she is friends with this psychedelic researcher. Oh. And she was complaining how like he barely like says anything to her anymore, because like he's getting some notoriety in the community. And I was like, yeah, when people get some fame, that kind of happens. You know what I mean?
Right. Yeah. We've heard it so many times. Sometimes stereotypes are there because there is a kernel of truth.
Yeah, because they're true. But yes, Becky. Becky yeah. is the trailer that we watched. Yeah. You know what's really weird? I didn't even recognize that was Kevin James until the end of the trailer when they're what? Like, Kevin James. And I was like, oh, yeah, that is Kevin James. Because he looks, I mean, I don't know. I don't know how tall he is. But, you know, I avoid all his stuff because I don't think he's funny.
Right.
And so I don't watch it.
Sure.
And so I have this like image of Kevin James as being like a short fat guy. But mm-hmm. he looks like a really tall dude in this movie.
Yeah, he looked pretty tall.
Yeah, so I don't know. So I was a little, plus he has a luxurious beard.
He did. That you was magnificent. I mean? Yeah.
And I'm used to, the image that I have is King of Queens where he's got no facial hair.
Right.
So, yeah, Becky looks interesting. I don't know what to think about it, to be honest with you.
Really?
Yeah, I mean, I want to see it. I think it looks good. But I'm confused as to, like, how this little Becky girl is going to take on, like, this Nazi group.
Has such violence in her heart and is a trained killer.
Yeah.
Even though 10 seconds before that, she was a little girl in, like, a playhouse in her room.
She's like, I can't believe you have a new girlfriend, Dad.
Wow. So bizarre.
Yeah, right?
Yeah. And Joel McHale, what the heck?
Yeah, no kidding. The premise, I think, basically is her mom's dead and her dad starts dating this new woman. It's a black woman. She also has a kid, I think, if I remember right. They go on this like family trip to a cabin and there's some kind of mysterious key. Mm-hmm. And this Nazi group is after the key, and Kevin James is the leader of the Nazis, or neo-Nazis, I should say. Mm-hmm. And they kidnap the whole family, and they want to know where Becky is. And you know where Becky is? She's kicking ass. That's where she is.
That's right.
Yeah. It looked interesting. I don't know. It kind of caught me by surprise.
It reminds me of, like, that Japanese director, Mikey?
I think I know that one.
Okay. He did a lot of, like, young kids against, you know, battling each other, battling adults, that type of thing, like battling the elements. And there were tinges there.
Hmm.
But there were also bits of it that I kept thinking, is this direct-to-video?
Hmm.
Like it had that quality to it.
I could see that.
Yeah. It certainly, I did not, and nor did it show. At first, I'm like, is this Blumhouse? But then once it kept going on, I'm like, no, this doesn't have near the style nor the money put behind it.
It did look a little bit like Blumhouse, though, didn't it?
At the beginning, yes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, and I had just watched the other one, the trailer that you sent me, which is Lovecraft Country. And so when I started watching Becky, I was kind of expecting the same kind of thing, and it was not that at all.
Mm-hmm.
Becky was like, what was that other show that I watched that I like? On the Amazon show, Hannah.
Yes. Yes.
Also, the name of a little girl who just kicks ass.
Mm-hmm.
So, interesting. But Lovecraft Country.
That has to be up your alley.
Here's the thing. Let me tell you about Lovecraft Country.
Uh-oh.
I'm going to watch this show.
Okay.
For sure. How do I want to put this?
The new Jordan Peele joint.
Yeah, that's the thing. It's the new Jordan Peele thing. And, like, I understand people love Jordan Peele.
Yeah.
They love, like, all his movies and the TV shows that he does and all that. He gets all these awards. I don't think they're as good as everyone says. You know what I mean? Like, I was super stoked for Twilight Zone. That's my favorite show of all time. And it's like, it was fine, but it wasn't great. You know what I mean?
Wow, okay.
And same thing with his movies. What was the first one he did?
Get Out.
I thought Get Out was, like, super overrated.
Wow.
I mean, there were some tense moments in it, but I didn't see, like, why everyone was so like, oh my god, this is amazing. It wasn't anything new. Like, I've seen that kind of thing a million times. And same with Us. Like, my wife and I have recently watched Us.
Mm-hmm.
I think it's on HBO right now. And, like, it was fine. But, like, it didn't blow me away.
Wow.
You know what I mean? So, I don't know. I mean, we'll see. I'm going to try it. Lord knows I loved some H.P. Lovecraft.
Yes, that's why I thought you'd be all in.
Yeah, Lovecraft is one of my favorites. So I'm going to watch it just for that. You do see some monster things in there. But the stuff that I think would make the trailer interesting, they go through it like really quick in the trailer. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
Like when the monster hand pops out of the door or whatever. That one monster they meet in the woods. Like it's all so quick.
Yeah.
And the stuff they focus on is like the social injustice stuff.
Yeah.
Which I get, like, that's what he's doing, right? I'm sure. Totally fine with that. He's doing movies and TV shows that, like, have minority and particularly African-American characters at the forefront. And I think that's great because you don't get enough of that.
Mm-hmm.
But I just don't want the same theme in, like, every single thing he does. And that seems to be the case.
Hmm.
Make sense?
I can see why you think that. Yeah.
Production quality looks great, though. Like I said, don't get me wrong. The trailer's really good.
Yeah, it's an HBO, if we haven't mentioned it, it's an HBO series. HBO put a lot of money behind it. There's some real cool lighting. There's a lot of tense moments, I thought, in the trailer.
Mm-hmm.
I like that he's showing different ethnicities. He definitely has a different voice in that field, and I think that's welcomed.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
For me, it's welcome. I think Jordan Peele knows his lane.
Mm-hmm.
And I think now he's venturing into M. Night Shyamalan a little bit, which isn't a bad thing. There's not a lot of people doing that. So I think that Lovecraft Country, I think it looks interesting. I'm looking forward to it.
Yeah.
And I hope it isn't just a monster every episode.
No, it almost looks like, what was the Stephen King one? Castle Rock.
Mm.
It looks a little bit like that.
Gotcha.
You know?
Yeah.
Except not, obviously not as in-depth into diving into particular Lovecraft characters.
Where, he just has a really good look.
Yeah,
All of his stuff looks really sharp.
It does look very sharp.
Yeah. So I'm curious, and I don't even like scary stuff, and I'm curious to see how this goes.
Mm-hmm.
And it certainly came out of nowhere.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. Yeah, I had not heard of this.
Yeah. Way to go, HBO.
We'll see. Could be good, though. There were some themes in there, like in the Watchmen TV show. Oh, you didn't watch that. Dang it.
No, I haven't.
You got to see Watchmen. To. Yeah, you need to see Watchmen. It's very good. But Lovecraft Country does take place. The one of the headlines that I saw in an article was a road trip across 1950s Jim Crow America.
See, that entices me.
Hmm.
See, That's a crazy period in the United States that should be looked at a little bit.
Yeah, yeah.
That seems like that would be rich. Storytelling-wise, that would be a rich time.
Oh, for sure.
Yeah.
For sure.
I like it.
Again, I don't want it to be the same rabbit hole every time.
Hey, buddy. Stephen King,
yes.
He has his own little rabbit hole, and he's been doing it for decades. So.
Well, you know, I don't like Stephen King either, so there you go.
I know. I get it. I understand. Not everybody can be Thomas Pynchon. I get it.
Now that is a man that knows his stuff.
I'm not disagreeing, but I'm just saying, not everybody's going to be doing that. Sometimes you have to feed the masses to make a little extra money to do your next thing.
Ah, I see.
And that's not a bad thing.
Well, see, Thomas Pynchon would never do that.
I agree. But Thomas Pynchon is not Stephen King, popularity-wise.
Well, Thomas Pynchon also doesn't care to be as popular.
I agree.
Mm-hmm. It's very true. No, that's a good point. That's a good point. Hey, you know what I mean? Like, whatever works, bro. Whatever
Why do you
works.
Think Tom Clancy's still putting out books a decade after he passed away?
You know, there's a lot of talk about this right now in the UFO community.
Ooh.
Because there are certain people that kind of push a particular perspective. And then there are others who think they're using that simply in order to make money and not actually get people to, like, realize the UFO stuff. You know what I mean? Like, understand what it is.
Yeah, of course.
They just want to, like, sell books or maybe get on Ancient Aliens or whatever. You know what I mean?
For sure. And, without a doubt.
I mean, you can't knock people for wanting to make money, right? I'll give you that. I think we live in a culture where in order to survive, you got to have money.
Sure.
At the same time, bro, I don't know.
There's also a bit of exploitative behavior there.
There's for sure a lot of that.
I mean, we've talked about this. If I saw an alien, what percentage of my day would I, till I die, would I not be talking about being visited by that alien? Give me a break. That's why it's crazy when people are like, oh, and then I remembered this, and oh, hold on, now I have more to say, so let's do another book. Like, at some point, it's like, are you there for the money, or are you there to explain your story?
Mm.
I mean, yeah. Hey, if I'm there for the money, guess what? Right now, I'm talking to one of your dead relatives. They're talking through me, Martin.
Oh, are you that, what's his name, John? What was his name?
I don't know. The Ghost Whisperer?
No. Dang it. What was the name of his show? Like, Lighting the Way or something? No, that's not it. Damn it. Anyway, it doesn't matter. John Evans. Nope, that's not it. Anyway, it doesn't matter. Yeah, like that guy.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, there's a... you can go about it different ways. There's a British magician that does the same kind of thing. John Edwards, that was it.
Ah, yes.
Took me a second. I was like, he had the same name as that politician, John Edwards. There's a British guy that does the same kind of thing that John Edwards does. The difference is he doesn't, like, pretend to be a psychic. Like, it's a magic show. Yeah, right. It's a magic show. In fact, the guy had a couple specials on Netflix. We talked about one of them. This has been years ago. Where, like, what was it? Like, they convinced people to, like, jump off a building or something?
Oh, yeah. It was like a social project.
Yeah. That's the guy I'm talking about.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
He's done a couple on Netflix. But, you know, like, obviously that guy's doing it for money. But he's doing it, like, to get people to understand, like, how this stuff works.
Yeah,
you know
he's all about psychology.
Yeah. And,
guess what? Gypsies are all about psychology too, but they're not going to tell you up front that, oh, this is just to show you how your brain works and this is how I'm manipulating it.
Yeah, right. Absolutely.
Instead, you can pay them $300 to talk to your dead mother. And I feel like they're a conduit, so I got to come back in 2 weeks when I get paid.
But see, like, that's an interesting example because the way that gypsies are treated culturally in Europe, like, they had no other choice but to be, like, circus acts. You know
sure.
what I mean? So,
right.
like, they found their niche, right? And people have this idea of gypsies as, like, thieves or, like, psychics or whatever.
Right.
What was the name of Zoltar? Was that it? The machine in Big?
That sounds right.
Yeah, Zoltar, right? Yeah. We were just talking about
the fortune-telling machine.
Yeah, the fortune-telling machine.
Yeah.
Like, that's the picture that people have of, like, gypsies. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
I don't think Twilight Zone did it. Maybe they did. But a couple shows like that, they, you know, like Tales from the Crypt or whatever, they would have mm-hmm. gypsies on there, like, telling people's fortunes. And they always have, like, the same look. And, listen, Zoe's mom, apparently her family's gypsy. They're fucking normal as shit. You know what I mean?
Yeah, sure.
So, anyway. Sorry, I had to take a sip of my coffee.
Oh.
But that's how you get all this mythology wrapped around people. You know, like the big story, one of the big stories at least that I've read about gypsies is they're like descendants of like pyramid priests in Egypt.
Oh wow!
And like they got kicked out of Egypt. I can't remember. I think it was when there was a king that decided he was gonna turn Egypt monotheistic. And after they went back to polytheism, like, they kicked these people out, and, like, that's what became the gypsies. I don't know. Like, there's weird stories about people from all over the place, right?
Mm-hmm.
And the gypsies are one. How did we get into gypsies? What did you do?
These are tangents, buddy. Just go down them. Man, go down those rabbit holes.
I'm the king of tangents. Hey, if you want to hear about rabbit holes, my new podcast, The Alchemical Mind, is now on Apple Podcasts. Go check it out. Thanks.
Very nice.
Super quick plug.
Mr. Segway.
I mean, I've got a ton of segues. I've watched stuff. I've not done anything. I spent $300 on electrical outlets yesterday. Wow. What do you want to talk about?
I want to know, have you done any more archery?
Mm.
Have you started your bow yet? Have you made any progress towards that?
So I have not done much archery at all. However, I did start my bow. I started my bow this morning because I took the day off of work today.
Oh, perfect.
Yeah. So, my plan was to get a bunch of stuff done, like during the week.
Sure.
And this is part of the reason why I spent $300 on outlets yesterday. So what happened was my wife got a Groupon for a guy to come and pressure wash the house.
Okay.
All right. So I had a pressure washer. And the problem with the pressure washer is that it was a small electric pressure washer. And it was fine, but it would take forever to do the house.
Oh, yeah.
Okay. And so I have not pressure washed the house in about 3 years, maybe four.
Gotcha.
And you know, it needs it because I have trees in the front yard. I have woods behind my house.
Sure.
So you know, dirt gets blown on the house.
Yeah, dust and dirt gets blown up. Sure.
Yeah, yeah. So I got home kind of early yesterday, about, I don't know, 3:30, 4:00. And my wife's like, the pressure washer guy's coming today. Can you talk to him? Because as you know, my wife is working from home. And I said, yeah, that's fine. So the guy comes up and seems super cool, whatever. He's like, just let me, like, what are we doing? So we're going around the house. I'm explaining to him, like, a couple things that I need to focus on. And then we get to the front of the house. And he's like, that outlet's not sealed. And I said, no, I know. It's not sealed. He's like, well, I can't pressure wash, like, this 10-foot section of the house.
Oh.
Right. So there's an outlet by the front door that has like little covers on it, but they're not like up to code or whatever. And we've known this, right? Because we've had the house inspected to like do stuff to fix it to get it up to code.
Sure.
Anyway, so I was like, all right, well, you know, that's fine. Just skip this section. And then like we go around the side and around the back and he's worried about this, that, and the other. And I was like, what's the deal, bro? He's like, I got to cancel this house. I can't do this house. I'm concerned about the electrical issues, blah, blah, blah. He's like, I have great insurance. So, you know, if the house burns down, I'll pay for it. But I don't feel comfortable doing it. I was like, that's fine, whatever. So he leaves. I go in and I tell my wife. My wife is super pissed off because she made this appointment to pressure wash the house like 6 weeks ago.
Right.
So
and is this guy just going to flake out with his Groupon since I guess he probably already got paid?
Well, he said he had not redeemed the Groupon so that we should be able to go ahead and get the refund. Well, let me tell you, getting Groupon refund is not very simple, my friends.
No.
I'm using this platform. Apparently, we pissed all our German listeners off. But yes, we keep dropping in the German listings.
What?
Yeah, because, well, Barr pointed out to me that I said Meghan Markle was the leader of Germany. And, of course, that is not who that is because she's married to that Prince Harry guy.
Right.
Whatever. You know what? F you, Germany. That's what I got
to
say.
Oh, no. Oh, the opinions and reports express does not. Oh.
But you know what? It's fine because now – because we dissed on the Germans – we're actually climbing the Canadian ladder now. So we're like number 178 in Canada. Praise Canada. You know what I mean?
For knitting podcasts? Is that what
you're talking about? Yes, for crocheting podcasts, we're climbing the ladders in Canada.
Wow.
So I'm going to start saying A after every sentence.
Oh, no. Now you're pissing them off too. I mean, what the hell?
Anyways. Groupon is obviously not a Canadian company because they would say, it's okay, we'll refund your money, these people, I don't know where they're from. They're just following a script because my wife got in touch with them like 3 times and every time they told her the same thing, like the entire conversation. So she called somebody and they told her like, no, get in touch with somebody else. Anyways. The problem's not fixed. Fuck you, Groupon. That's what I got. That's episode title. Fuck you, Groupon. Okay?
I've actually had two Groupons expire on me.
Yeah.
And it just was not worth my time or effort to go and like fight for whatever it was, $15, $20 that I originally spent. I'm like, go ahead. You can have that. Go ahead. Not worth it.
Well, I mean, this is like $120.
Right. Yeah. That's a little bit more than what I was spending on whatever it was.
Yeah.
Hot stone massage or whatever.
Pot? Why are you buying pot on Groupon?
Hot stone massage. Or whatever the hell it was.
Yeah. So, anyways, long story short, the house is not pressure washed, and now my wife wants this damn outlet replaced.
Now, she worried about the house burning down?
Yes.
Now, oh, no.
Here's the thing. If the house is built, like, within the past 20 years, they require those GFI outlets, right? They have the little test button. Sure. You know what I'm talking about?
Yep.
And the reset button. It requires those.
Right.
And so my wife wants me to do those.
Which is much more expensive.
Right, which is like $20 per outlet as opposed to like $3.
Right.
So there's one outlet by the front door. Our back porch has six.
Oh, boy.
All the bathrooms and the kitchen have to have mandatory GFI outlets. Also, the garage.
I can see how this is $300.
Yeah,
because I'm adding everything up in my head right now, 2020.
Well, yes. So you would think to yourself, goddamn, that's like 30 fucking outlets. And you would be correct. Lucky for me, Amazon has 10 packs of GFI outlets for like $80.
Hell yeah.
So it only cost me $250 to order 30 outlets.
Oh, God.
And so when they come in on Sunday, hopefully very late, so I don't have to do them then, I will be spending my entire day, removing outlets and installing new outlets.
Well, let the beautiful wife know that you also have to record a podcast on Sunday. So
this is true. This is true. But it gets better.
Hmm.
Because I have to turn the power off and do all this work in the kitchen to do these goddamn outlets.
Right.
My wife also wants me to replace the ceiling fixture in the kitchen.
Oh, dang it. Look at you, Johnny Electrician over there.
So I might not make the next episode because I might be dead.
Oh, no. Yeah, I don't. I don't mess around with electricity.
I'm not worried about it. I'm just going to shut power off to the whole fucking house. And
yeah.
They can go walk around Coronaville or something. You know what I mean?
Right. I think that's the only way I possibly could do it.
Yeah. Well, when we first moved in, I labeled all, because the fuse box was not labeled. So I went through each single one and like labeled all of them.
Good.
So that's I know what everything is.
Sure.
But I don't care. I'm just going to shut the whole thing off.
Yeah, I wouldn't take a chance.
So long story short, there's a lot of work that I need to do around the house now.
Sounds like you need to take Monday off.
I actually am taking Monday off.
Yeah, I'm on.
There's all this work I need to run the house, including fixing this little area by my fence. We're not going to talk about that today, but basically I have to dig a 100-foot ditch because I need to create a drain from my fence to the back of my backyard, and that is roughly 100 feet in that section.
Is this a ditch, or is this finally you're crafting your own moat?
No. So separating our house and the neighbor's house, there is a drain, okay? Because we're kind of towards the bottom of the hill,
mm-hmm.
And so the water drains down, and were it not for my little drain there, all the water would go into my neighbor's driveway.
Ooh.
Which has happened in the past. So a few years ago, they actually deepened and widened the ditch. The problem is, I have a fence there, and so now there is an 18-inch gap between the bottom of the ditch and the bottom of my fence. Therefore, my dogs can get out.
Yeah.
So I need to do all this work to get the water to drain all the way past my yard. Also, find a way to block this hole. Oh, did I mention the ditch is it's 40 inches wide? No, I didn't mention that. Yeah. So,
oh, my God.
So I need to basically build this section. Yes. But it got me to like, hey, you know what? Every day I'm going to do like a little thing around the house, like stuff that I haven't done in months because I just don't have the time.
Yeah.
And so one thing that I started doing is that I started getting some of the, because we had a storm recently, I started getting big limbs off my front yard because I have a lot of, there's a lot of oak trees in my yard, in the front yard. Mm-hmm. And one, Nicholas Wetmore, was the perfect size to build the bow.
Oh, I was wondering if you were going to get back to this.
You see how we got back to it?
That's okay. Great.
Welcome to the Nerdy Legion podcast with Nick and
Dang. Mark. Beautiful.
So this limb is about 8 foot long.
Hell yeah.
It is, like 5 or 6 inches in diameter. It's a big old limb. Oh. And it's pretty damn straight. So as I was doing that, I had to stop what I was doing because I was so excited to find this limb, the perfect limb. I brought it in. I started shaping a little bit, cleaned out some of the bark off of it or whatever. And now I have it drying because it was wet.
Nice.
So we'll see how it goes. I'm hoping that limb works out. If not, then I'm just going to go buy something, you know, like a 4x4 or something. But
sure.
Yeah. So far, love so it. Good, bro.
I love it. That sounds great.
I told my wife, though, because I was when I was showing her the ditch under the fence, I told her what I wanted to do. She's like, I don't know what that means. Just do it. And I said, no, put your shoes on, come outside, and let's go look at it. Because I don't want to go and get stuff and do what I think should be done. And then when I'm finished, you say, well, you should have done this instead.
Right.
Because that happens every time I do some kind of project. Like the last one I did was I rebuilt the stairs on the back deck. And she's like, why is this like this? Why is this like this? I'm like, what the fuck does it matter? It's stairs. They're sturdy. They look great. So I wanted to make sure that what I did would be exactly something she agreed on. And when I started explaining it, she's like, how long is this going to take? And I said, I need like 3 days.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, I need to take like at least a week's vacation, maybe two.
Ooh.
Just to like do all the shit around the house.
I thought they froze vacation for you, essential employee.
Funny that you say that. So last night, my boss is texting me. I ignored him.
Of course.
This morning, my boss is texting me. I ignore him.
Of course.
So I wake up at 11 o'clock. And the last one I had from him was like an hour prior. And he's like, did you get my text? And so I replied, bro, I haven't been off in 2 weeks. I took the day off. Ask me on Monday. And he's like, oh, I didn't know you hadn't been off. I said, yeah, I need you to talk to whoever and let me take a goddamn vacation. So he said, okay, I'll let you know Monday. So my vacation will be approved.
Nice.
I just don't know when.
All right.
Hopefully within the next couple of weeks.
Yeah.
But yes, so see, that entirely long story was just to tell you that, yes, I started this bow.
That's great. I'm very excited. Are you still planning on going camping and whittling while you're camping?
So it depends how long a vacation I get to take.
Okay.
So I'm hoping at least a week. If I do a week, I know I will need at least 3 days, maybe four, to do everything I want to do in the yard.
Sure.
Because like I started looking around, I was like, oh yeah, I also need to do this, and like I should change this to be like this. Now I want to get rid of some stuff and put gravel down. There's a lot of stuff. I made my list longer. I'm not going to deny it.
Yeah, but your to-do list is crazy now.
Yeah. But 3 or 4 days. If that's the case, then I might go for a day or two, but I don't know yet. Because I really just want to go for the entire fucking week.
Nice.
You know what I mean? I want to do a whole week.
Right.
So we'll see.
You know what will happen if you go for an entire week camping?
Hmm.
You're going to come back to a zombie apocalypse. It's a movie that's already been written. Come on. But you'll be the star of it.
Are you trying to give me a boner? Is that what you're doing right now?
Yes. I'm speaking dirty to you right now. I know Ferretti. I know Ferretti speak.
I could only hope that is the case, Nick. I have prepared my entire life for this moment.
And I'm carving a bow.
I mean, how perfect would that be, right?
Oh my god, it totally would.
I'm in the woods, I come out, I'm super excited because I just built my first boat from nothing, and then there's just like zombies going up the trail.
Hell yeah. You have to go race to like save your family.
Yeah.
And only you can save them.
I'd be like, oh my god, Jesus is real.
Just like, oh, look at this.
So yeah.
Xbox, record this. Come on, this is a life changing moment. I need this recorded.
I guess I could take a GoPro with me. I'd have to buy one. It's funny that you mentioned zombies, though. I just watched a zombie movie.
Dude,
and it was really good.
That's a shocker. Shocker. Martin Freddy watches a zombie movie. Who would have thought?
Well, I haven't seen this one before. But it was good. I enjoyed it. It's on Netflix. It's called Rampant.
Rampant?
Yeah, okay. Rampant. And it's, I don't know what the time frame is, because I don't know Korean history. It is a Korean movie, South Korean. Cool. Let's see here. Joseon Dynasty. So late 1300s. Okay, cool. So it's basically an era in which Korea is like subject to the Chinese.
Mm-hmm.
And so they have a king there in Korea, whatever. But there's like an emissary coming from China. And along that, like one of the princes lives in China and he's coming by back home for some reason that they never explain. There's like a lot of political intrigue here because like the Ministry of War is a total dickhead and he's like hatching this plan. And as the movie progresses, you learn more and more about the plan, how the entire thing was his fault. Basically he wants to dethrone the king and name himself king.
Sure.
Okay. Well, as all this is going on, there's a fucking zombie apocalypse.
Oh, so he didn't set off the zombie apocalypse. It wasn't his fault.
I mean, I don't want to say, because then that would spoil what happens.
Oh, okay.
Which I just did by saying that I don't want to spoil what happens. See what I mean?
Okay.
Yes, it is his fault that the zombie apocalypse starts.
Makes sense.
But, like, purely by mistake. Because there's a group, and you learned this very early on, so it's not a spoiler. But there's a group being led by the other prince, by the crown prince, that wants to dethrone the king. Because they feel like the king is just being China's bitch, right? And they want to be, like, proud to be Koreans. Well, the plot is foiled by the Ministry of War. And it just so happens that they're, like, getting guns smuggled. So then maybe this would have been later. Because they had guns. I don't know. Who cares?
Right. You're not there for a history lesson. You're there for zombies.
I don't know. Maybe I should reread when this period happened. Okay, it's like late 1300s to 18-something, so that makes more sense. So it's somewhere in that era they have guns, so I would assume towards the end of that era.
Sure.
And so they have these Westerners that are going to sell them guns. And it just so happens that one of the guys on this pirate ship is like super sick, and so the virus comes from him.
So, yes.
The Minister of War basically starts the zombie apocalypse in order to dethrone the Korean king. Lucky for him, his son, who's been living in China for a few years, comes back and saves the day.
Gotcha.
There's a shit ton of zombies in this movie. They are mostly very fast zombies.
Oh, okay. I was about to ask, fast or slow?
Yeah, I'm not a huge fan of the fast zombie, but for this movie it works out because they're doing like fucking Taekwondo and shit with swords. You know what I mean?
Nice. Any wire foo?
There's some of that, yes.
Oh, cool.
Yeah, not a whole bunch, but yeah. So yeah, I enjoyed it. It's called Rampant. It's about 2 hours long. It's in Korean, so it'll be subtitled. But I really like a lot of Korean films because they're more like old stories than the kind of movies we get, right? Like the movies we get have like real life characters, basically.
And, yeah, these are like folk tales.
Yeah, they're like folk tales, and like all the characters are like stereotypes of a specific type of person.
Sure.
You know what I mean? So like,
definitely.
You have the hero, you have like the Joker, you have the maiden, you have the evil politician, you have the misguided politician. Like they have all these stereotypes, and I really like that about Korean movies. But yeah, I thought it was worth watching, and it's free if you have Netflix, so why not?
You know what this little chat that we just had about this movie. This really hyper-focuses, at least the last three times we chatted, that it sounds like Martin Ferretti needs to pick up a little bit more, revisit, not pick up, you've already read, but revisit some Joseph Campbell.
Because
it sounds like it's just so up your headspace right now. Talking about, you know, the different archetypes, and I don't know. I think you'd really benefit from it.
Maybe. I've thought about it. Because I'm doing a lot of this kind of reading for my other podcast.
Right.
The Alchemical Mind, now an Apple Podcast. Go check it out. And so, yeah, maybe. Yeah. It depends on when I get to that kind of stuff. Because right now I'm really just doing like a bunch of setup and introduction.
Sure.
Because there are people listening that know about the stuff. But there's also like friends of mine on Twitter that are just listening because like, hey, let's see what Martin's doing now.
Yeah.
And so I want to introduce that kind of thing.
Definitely.
But yeah, maybe once I dive deeper a little bit into mythology and stuff like that, I could do that.
Yeah, I like movies and books that deal with archetypes, not really stereotypes, archetypes.
Yeah, good point. Maybe stereotype. Well, sometimes it is stereotypes in these movies.
Right. And stereotypes does work for sure.
Yeah.
So,
that's yes, great. Rampant.
That sounds really interesting.
Yeah, it was good. Well, the one that's interesting will be the show that I watch, but tell me something good.
What do you mean, the show that you watch?
I watch the show.
Oh, yeah. Gotcha.
Yeah. Have you done anything special? How's work going?
Oh, buddy. It's crazy. It's been so long since I've been in the... Because I do content managing for websites. I know you know, but I don't know if the listener knows.
Mm-hmm.
Hey, Canadians, that's what I do. Digital content managing for websites. And I was out of work for quite a long period there. And I really was like, dude, do I want to learn something new? Do I have to change my career goals to make it that I'm more desirable in the workforce? And then I jump back into this, and I jump back into a content management system that I first started on. And it just fit like a glove. It's like everything's coming back to me. All these systems are completely making sense. The bugs that were there 15 years ago pretty much are still there. But it just made me overall realize, wow, this is sort of what you have a passion for. Work-wise, this is what you have a passion for. You do this really good. You really enjoy it. The day just melts away. All of a sudden, it's like, oh my God, it's 10 hours later. You just really like it. I have a good compartmentalized brain that works well with that type of activity.
Yeah.
So it's just really nice, especially this week with minimal instruction. Yet I feel like I was very, very efficient, as well as just kicking butt, taking a name. It felt really, really good. So thanks for asking. It was, other than me being sick, it was a fantastic work week.
Well, I'm happy to hear that, Nick.
Yeah.
I'm happy to hear that. Even if you were sick.
Oh, buddy. It was just the worst. The best thing I could tell you that came out of it, other than, like, it was one of those, like, my stomach was doing flip-flops the night before, and I started to, like, ooh, I got to go to the bathroom. And then there was a period where, and I'm sure you've dealt with this too, there was a period where it's like, this doesn't make sense of me going back downstairs, because the amount of time I spend downstairs is nowhere close to the amount of time that I would be upstairs. So why not just sit upstairs? And that went till 4 or 5 in the morning. And then I woke up at 7 and I just looked at the wife and I'm like, I realize I just started this job 3 weeks ago, but I gotta take a knee. I just can't do it. And guess what? If this guy fires me, they fire me. Oh,
right,
well.
Right.
I just knew, like, I would be stealing money from the company. Because sure, when you're working remotely, who's over your shoulder looking at you doing work?
Mm-hmm.
I could make up a myriad of excuses, and I know the content management system well enough to give them 20 excuses why I didn't do much work, but really I didn't even sit behind the computer. I just sort of BS'd.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm not wired that way. So I'm like, you know what? I'd rather not get paid. I get paid hourly. I'd rather not get paid for that entire day. Oh, well.
Yep. I get it.
So I just laid upstairs, and the best thing that came out of the whole thing was reading digitally. I can take that from the bedroom into the toilet. Unless I'm throwing up, I can be reading.
Mm-hmm.
So I completely busted out X-Men Legion Shadow King Rising.
Oh, wow.
And I never read that one before. And I just sort of got introduced to Legion through New Mutants. Was my first, like, touchstone for that earlier this year. And I never really read any Legion before that. Like, I sort of knew him a little bit, but he was never the focus of any of the X books that I was reading back in the day.
Mm-hmm.
So after getting to know him in New Mutants, and it helps with Bill Sienkiewicz doing the art, that made me interested to, oh, let me read this Legion book. And, dude, I don't know if you read this Legion Shadow King Rising, but it was all about the Shadow King. It was all about Mirror Island, Shadow King turning everyone's darkest desires into...
Yeah, okay, I remember this. Yes,
yes. Yeah. And he used Legion as a conduit, and he used Polaris as a conduit.
Mm-hmm.
And he got in, and I did like that they put, Mora put what the hell is it? The thing that you go and search for mutants with, the helmet.
Cerebrus.
Cerebro, yeah.
Yeah, Cerebro.
She put it on Legion, not realizing, I don't think, the split personality aspect, just thinking he's a telepath. They're trying to find the X-Men who were still in space. So they put that on him, and that's how Shadow King, through the split personalities, was able to infiltrate into Legion.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm like, that's a cool little turn of events there.
Mm-hmm.
But then all of a sudden, the book, whether it's Claremont, whether it's Nicieza, they all of a sudden, and I get, Legion has a TV show, Marvel wants to sell books. Right. So they title it X-Men Legion Shadow King Rising instead of X-Men Shadow King Rising. And certainly he was a huge linchpin in the story, but there was so little Legion in this. And I mean, the book's like 500 pages because it collects all the X titles. And I wanted to ask you this because I read, as you well know, I read that Crisis on Infinite Earth compendium.
Mm-hmm.
And DC had some excerpts, but I think it was Infinity Inc., I want to say, where they had two stories, and one story was all about Infinite Crisis coming. And the other story was just a Spectre off-world story. But DC included both.
Hmm.
And in this Marvel collection, like, you look at, like, what all is involved issue-wise, and it's like, holy shit, there's like 22 issues in this thing. Wow, that's gigantic. But then you realize Claremont has A, B, and C story going on, and if the A story is Shadow King, Marvel for this collection just got rid of the B story and the C story.
Hmm.
So you would get like, oh, here's whatever, X-Men 258, and it would be like literally 4 pages. And then you'd get the cover to the next X-Men that has another 6 pages of just the Shadow King stuff.
Right.
And then after that, you would get a blank page that just had text explaining, oh, now we're skipping over to New Mutants or whatever. We're skipping over to another title, and let me catch you up to speed with what's happening in New Mutants.
Hmm.
So it felt a little herky-jerky, and if they didn't have the text pages, oh my God, I would have been like swimming. I would have had no idea what was going on. The text helped, so those pages from the editor, that helped. That definitely caught me up to speed. But my question to you is, do you like if you got an omnibus or you got like a gigantic epic collection or one of the bigger collections, do you like getting, oh, it includes issue 158 of Detective? Or actually, it'd be a better example, like Brave and Bold. Oh, it included 158 of Brave and Bold. but that had three stories in it, but only one story is relevant to the reason you bought that book. But do you, for me as a collector, I'm not, I certainly want more pages because, you know, more pages for the buck, great. But also, I'm a readist completist that I want to read issue 158.
Mm-hmm.
And if it's like one of those like All-Star Comics 100 page giants, and I don't read all 100 pages, I don't feel like I read the issue.
So I think it depends. If this is like, I mean, like, I think maybe for the story that you're talking about, it's okay.
Mm-hmm.
You know, if it's like a compendium or something like that, then I could see that. What I don't like, if it's like a small trade, I think we talked about this a little bit last episode. You were talking about that, what was it? The Wolverine?
Hunt for Wolverine?
Yeah, yeah. No, it wasn't that. Was it? Yeah, yeah, because you were talking about that one story with, oh, God. What's his name? The Deadpool guy. Not Deadpool. Daredevil.
Oh, yeah. The Bullseye. Daredevil Misty Knight.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know, if it's something like that, I don't know, right? Where you have like a single issue that just happens to have the characters in it, then I'm not really fond of that. But if it's something that like ties into the story, then I'm okay with it, right? Like, and I don't care where they put it. Because, you know, sometimes when you have an event or whatever, they might have... like a flashback issue of something, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Where like, you know, we're starting this big story, but like there was a hint of this 20 issues ago. Here's that one issue, right? Like,
right.
Even if the rest of the story is completely irrelevant, where you have like the villain just off panel, whatever, right? Like, okay, like activate Project Omega, right? Like, that's okay because it does relate to the story. I just don't like extraneous stuff. Unless like it's supposed to be that way, right? So if it's like a Batman Elseworlds collection, like obviously I'm okay with tangential material because the stories aren't connected, right? They're all standalone stories,
right?
So it really depends on like what the book is trying to accomplish and like
That's
what's
true.
Supposed to be collected.
That's okay. So like if Nightfall had. If a Batman books during the Nightfall period, if those had A, B, and C stories, like one of the stories was, what's Robin doing while Azrael's getting, you know, Batman training? Within that Batman book, not Robin's separate title, I'm saying within, like, Detective, during the Nightfall period, if there was a C storyline that went through six issues, but it had really nothing to do with Nightfall during a collected trade, you'd be fine if you just missed that Robin story.
Yeah, and actually Nightfall is a pretty good example to use
because
they've done so many different collections of Nightfall and no two are the same because like some will include like Legends of Bane and some don't. And
right.
Some will have like Robin backup material and some don't. Yeah, that's an interesting one. I wish it would be like just Nightfall.
Okay, so the Robin storyline is like, oh well, you lost that.
Yeah, like I'm not here for that. I'm here for Nightfall.
But now if you bought, okay, the same thing. You're buying Detective Omnibus. And it's issues, whatever, 300 through 400 in Omnibus. And it included the Nightfall issues. What if they left off the Robin sub-story there? Because that would drive me crazy because that's an omnibus and I want that to be complete. That isn't a Nightfall storyline. That's an omnibus of detective comic books.
Okay, so you're talking... Okay. So you're talking
sort
about...
Sort of like the JLA when they had the backstory that Gary Frank drew of Shazam. Like, that wasn't in... the JLA trade, they cut that out and made it its own separate trade.
See, that makes sense to me.
Okay.
So if in that example, the Detective Omnibus should have all the issues of Detective leading up to Nightfall, and then you have the next volume starting after Nightfall. But the Nightfall is a self-contained thing. See, this is the problem, part of the problem at least, with doing these like year-long stories.
Yes.
And maybe this is why we don't get year-long stories anymore. because everyone sells for trade now, mm-hmm. is that it is nearly impossible to make a collection that makes sense if you only read a particular title.
Right.
Right? So, like, X-Men books, for example. Not so much now, even though, like, you get some more if you read them together, but I don't think you necessarily need to read them together.
I mean, to be honest with you, the way, like, they did the X titles for Hickman,
mm-hmm.
and especially when he was doing Avengers, that's almost how I need his books.
Mm.
I need them parsed out that way where they're giving it to me chronologically, but it's all his universe.
Mm-hmm.
Because I, as a reader, if I'm not really up and in the loop, I might actually accidentally forget to get that one or, you know, number three trade of a different title that I didn't even know existed.
Mm.
But he did it, and it's part of the canon, and it looks exactly, you know, it's laid out exactly the same as his other two titles.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Hmm.
So I like that they combine it up, and it's like Jonathan Hickman's House of X or whatever it is.
Yeah, well, and, you know, in House of X and Powers of X, you have to read together. So, you know, if you do a compendium, it has to be those two books together.
Yeah, I love it.
Right? Yeah, yeah, that's, I mean, to me, that's on, like, a book-by-book basis.
Okay.
I think for older books, it's a lot easier, right? So if you have, like, you know, Silver Age collections or whatever, Golden Age collections, it's much easier because you have a lot of one-and-done stories. And so you can, it doesn't really matter what you collect. It ends up being kind of arbitrary.
Sure.
But as you get into the Bronze Age, you can't really do that, right?
Mm-hmm.
You know, especially with like Superman, Batman, X-Men, like those kind of books. You have to have everything. And like, think of the size of that like compendium, right? In order to actually, for it to actually be a compendium, right, to be complete, it would have to be like twice the size, three times the size of what they actually publish in any given edition.
Yeah, agreed.
Yep.
Now, where do you stand? You're getting a big, thick-ass book. Maybe not an omnibus. Maybe like between an epic collection and an omnibus. So it's a pretty thick book.
Yeah.
Where do you stand? Let's go back to your X-Men example. Old X-Men.
Mm-hmm.
Or even Batman, when all of those titles were sort of interconnected with each other.
Mm-hmm.
And we've discussed that before. Where do you stand on, do you want the books to be, here's Batman 100 to 106,
no.
Detective 100 to 106, and whatever, Dark Knight. Legends of Dark Knight, 100 to 106. Or do you want them chronologically so they sort of all flow together? Because yeah. I've read a couple modern collections that are doing just that. They're doing like, especially for like that Death of Wolverine. It was like one through six.
Mm.
And it was like by the time you got to the issue six of the first title, when you went into the second and third title, there's already stuff that happened that you're like, oh yeah, this is going to happen. And it totally ruined the experience for me. And it happened like two more times because I had two more titles to read. And it's from different perspectives of different groups. Okay. So now I can see what Mystique sees in this one.
Yep.
But still, it's like the excitement and the like tension completely lost.
See, for something like that, you have to do it chronologically.
I think so. I agree.
If you're collecting a storyline, you're buying the book because you like the storyline. Therefore, you need to read the storyline in the order that it came out.
I would agree. That's why editors get paid money. Like, that's what you're supposed to be doing. You're supposed to be worrying about that
mm-hmm.
and setting stuff up. That's why reading that Shadow King, I loved reading the prose, and I even put that up in one of my tweets.
Mm.
Hoping that people would read it and be like, especially like Daryl, Mr. X-Men, he could read that and be like, that was a good synopsis of whatever, 10, 15 issues
mm-hmm.
of like details that you had to know, but does Marvel really want to put in one or two pages over a year and a half's worth of X-Men titles mm-hmm. to like catch you up?
Yep.
That would be a hell of a lot more jarring.
Yep.
Yeah, it was very, very, that part of it, it was done very well, smartly.
Hmm.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. I don't know, man. You can't. You got to be smart. You know, this is why the best thing to do, and I mean, obviously it's not going to be as cheap, but the best thing to do is you buy the floppies, and then you contact Omaha Bound, and you create your own hardcover collection in whatever order you want.
I will say, I saw a couple videos of like some recent like X-Men omnibuses, and I think there's only a few of like the editors for some of these like omnibuses at Marvel specifically, but some of them have started, and I wish they would have done this a decade ago. They started to include letters pages and like Stan soapboxes and stuff like that.
Oh, that's cool.
And that's the stuff that, like you said, Omaha Bound, dude, I can have all of my cool ads in there and all of my extra stuff. And that's the nostalgia that I really miss. I wish I could see that. As a digital reader, I do miss reading Superman 152 and not getting all of the, like, ad. I want in-house ads. Like, I get you don't want to pay, you don't want to give Hostess free advertising, so why would we offer that ad? Give me an ad of like, this is how you marketed Blue Beetle. That's interesting.
Oh yeah, that's cool.
Yeah,
I do like that. Why don't they do that?
I don't know. It wouldn't, other than extra pages, but guess what, you could charge me an extra $5, $10 to give me 25 pages of house ads.
Yeah, I'd be okay with house ads. I mean, I don't want, like, the Hostess ad.
No.
But I'm good with house
unless
ads.
It's Batman, unless it's Batman and Robin against the Penguin for Hostess Twinkies. Remember that one?
Yeah.
It's a great one.
Do you remember, there was a period of time, it was like late.
But come on. What about, speaking of house ads, remember the first house ad for Sienkiewicz Moon Knight? That completely black cover. It became one of the covers.
Yeah.
But it's like, good God, that was some marketing. Jesus, that was beautiful. That's what I want to see. Omaha Bound, where are you?
Not a sponsor. That is not a shame on them. They're great. Yeah. Yeah, you remember there was a period of time, it was like late 90s, early 2000s, where they would do the half-page ads.
Yes.
Those were the worst.
They were. Well, what's worse? Getting the half page ad and then remember, like, right below the three panels that were there, right below that, the words continue three pages. And you just knew, it's like, mother effer, I'm going to open it up and see two more ads and then have to open it up again. You just wasted all that time.
Yep. The good old days.
Damn.
So, if they put a letters column,
yeah,
do you want it to be at the end of the issue, like it normally would be? Or would you rather it be at the end of the book, and it just collects all the letter columns together?
Boy, that's a tough one. I think, see, this depends. I always want the cover to appear on the left-hand side. So, can I get the letters page on the right-hand side? That would work out. And then have the cover on the left-hand side the next page. That would work out perfectly if they could time that out. That would be brilliant. But I think having all the letters pages at the end as extras, that would help with the flow going from one issue into the next. I think that would be less jarring. But also, I think as a reader, because I would want to read all the letters, don't you think that would be a little odd? Because then you're trying, especially if it's an omnibus, then you're trying to remember back 40 issues ago to, all right, now, was this applying, was this letter to the editor, are they talking about this Juggernaut issue, or are they talking about a different Juggernaut issue? You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, like, okay, I get it. Yeah.
Yeah, I sort of would need that, but I also don't need the letter. That's why it's like, dude, like we just said, I don't need all the letter issues, because guess what? The first three issues in an omnibus, those letter columns aren't talking about those three issues. They're talking about issues, you know, six issues ago that aren't in the omnibus. You don't even have to have those letter columns.
True.
Just have the letter columns that apply to the omnibus that I'm reading currently.
Yeah, that's what I mean, though.
Yeah, it'd be perfect.
Yeah, I do like that. All right, cool. That makes more sense.
But I can't believe Marvel started to do that. It's like, dude, why haven't you been doing this? Like, I miss stuff like that. I miss reading that type of stuff. But in-house ads, ooh, would I love to see that? Hell yeah.
Here's the thing. I think as the comic book reading demographic ages.
Right? Sadly.
Because we're not getting new kids in. Right? Let's be honest. Like, little kids are not reading comics. But us old folks, we love reading comics.
Unless they're video game comics, then they might be reading them.
Yes, maybe. The thing is, we like the letters columns because we grew up reading the letters columns. So, of course, you need to put him in the goddamn book. You know what I mean? Like, charge me an extra $5. I don't care.
For sure.
Right? But you're getting that extra content. And maybe some people don't care about extra content. But, Nick, I know you and I care about extra content.
Yeah.
And, like, that's cool content, right?
Definitely.
Letters columns, people explaining, like, how they came up with a story, an outline of an issue, like, rough draft of a page, whatever.
You know what I would even go with?
Mm.
Like the bullpen bulletin.
Yes.
And then remember below that, it would be like spotlighted issues this month.
Yes.
And it would just be one or two sentences of like all the issues coming out this month. And I hate to say it, DC Marvel, you give me that with like a one sentence back in the day of like, this is what was happening in Teen Titans, and this is what happened in Justice Society of America. This is what happened in Sergeant Rock. Like, all these titles that I never read back in the day, I would read those now and be fascinated and want to collect those and read those. Like, that's an instant sell, and you already have all that shit. All you need is an intern scanning those pages. That's all you need.
See, I'm going to write Marvel an email to make you that intern scanning those pages. In fact, I want
to
have them.
I'm
going to have them hire you as head of collection distribution.
Oh, that would be so good.
Chief Executive Officer of Distribution.
Yes.
The Chode.
Oh, heck yeah. That's me. Hello. But I love that type of stuff. I love seeing that little breakdown, that little like DC spotlight, that type of thing.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, that was so good.
Mm-hmm. Yep, that was cool.
I hate to say it now, like back in the day, those editors, like you never really knew them because we were young.
Mm-hmm.
But reading stuff now, it's like, wow, those are all recognizable names. And I would like to hear their two cents, even if it's just like corporate speak of the day.
Mm-hmm.
Historically, it'd be fascinating.
Yep. Did Marvel do that? I remember like Valiant and Malibu and like smaller publishers did that kind of thing.
You mean like a Stan soapbox?
No, well, I guess. Yeah, not really.
But they had Jim Shooter talking, or they even had like in-house ads of like, this is what happens at Marvel Comics for the Christmas season. And they'll show like a Christmas party, a drawing of a Christmas party with like heroes in it.
Oh, yeah.
Freaking classic.
Yeah.
I don't know. Give me a call, Marvel. Come on.
Yes. I nominate you.
Oh, man. I'd even debate moving to New York. I got news for you. Be like, baby, this is a lifelong dream. Come on. The house is stand built. Let's go.
You can take a lot of cruises out of New York.
Oh,
I mean,
boy.
Not right now.
Well, yeah, let's wait. Hold on. Let's pump those brakes.
You got to wait a little bit.
Yeah, come on.
But, you know, the cruise director can have a new job.
That's true.
She can be an actual cruise director.
Oh, that'd be so good.
Mm-hmm.
Can we take cruises up north to go, like, through coastal Canada? That'd be beautiful.
Oh, see? Then we can start the Nerdy Legion World Tour.
Oh, man. And then I could come down. We can go south, take some cruises south from New York. And
go visit you. All the way south.
Swing down, visit you, you know?
Yep.
And then not we'll during just keep hurricane going. Season, of course.
Well, you know, the way the world works right now, every day is hurricane day.
That's true.
Mm-hmm. You know, it was 85 degrees yesterday.
Yes.
And tomorrow it's going to be like 45.
That was yesterday for us, and today it is 51. And and tomorrow is supposed to be 42 and rainy. So even worse.
Yep, I get it. Very good. I like that. That's a great idea.
But I love it. I mean, and you think about like going from VHS to DVD, or sorry, VHS to Laserdisc to DVD to Blu-ray, and how many times good creators have added new material and extras and like tried to, you know, bulk up their original film umpteen different ways and try to present it to different audiences or new audiences, or guess what? The same audiences. It's like the same thing could apply here.
Mm.
Like just, you don't need to take, have you seen these new like Avengers box sets and X-Men box sets? You should look them up. I think they're like $500.
Woo!
And they come in like a gigantic slipcase. I think they're like 10 volumes each. And like the Avengers and the X-Men editors, I believe, picked out their top 10 story arcs.
Mm-hmm.
And throughout the eras. So it can't just be 10 from the 80s. So it's throughout the eras, the top 10, I believe. And they're all, and it's real nice. It's a nice slipcase with like a magnetic seal, and all the books are hardcover with no like slipcase on them.
Mm-hmm.
So they're all like printed hardcovers, and they're all beautiful, but it is one of those things that's like, you know how many of these top, I mean, I'm sure you can already guess, you know how many of these top 10 stories through the era haven't been reprinted 100,000 times?
Mm.
Like I watched a video on the Avengers one, mm-hmm. and there was one story arc that I'm like, huh, what's that?
Is it the Kang the Conqueror one? The best one?
No, it wasn't. Okay. But you know, good guess.
Yeah, I'm looking at this thing now. Go ahead, continue.
It's just gigantic. It's like 15 pounds, and it's sturdy as hell. It looks beautiful,
mm-hmm.
and I love the cover art design. Really, really pretty. But my point is, the price point is so expensive. If you're a new reader, you're never buying that.
Mm-hmm.
And if you're an old reader like us, who probably owns all of those stories, mm-hmm. at least one version of them, if not two or three versions of them, would you really be buying that? Even if you're an Uber fan, would you really be spending the money on that?
Yeah.
I don't think so. So why are you doing that? What are you making out of it? Like, if you're going to present a huge box set like that and give me an entire trade of unused art, or like the IDW like artist edition, and you're including that in it, as well as, you know, all these pimped out extras, letters, columns, you know, stand, soapbox, whatever,
mm-hmm.
then it would be like, ooh, that's interesting. That's stuff I don't have, and they're probably never going to release all that.
Mm-hmm.
Let me think about it. But just to release the top 10 throughout the era, it's like, that makes no sense to me. But they're all great. Don't get me wrong. Like, all their choices are fantastic. They all work. But for longtime readers, I don't want that. I wouldn't spend money on that.
Mm. Yeah. Hmm. So it is nice. I'm looking at the Avengers one now. I mean, Amazon's got it for $330.
What's the actual price?
$500.
Like, yeah, $500. So even if you found a half off, that's $250. Granted, you're getting hardcovers and you're getting 10 of them.
Right.
So that makes it $25 a hardcover. Fantastic price. But how many of those hardcovers don't you have?
Mm-hmm.
That's the thing that sort of sticks with me.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's true. And I mean, some of these hardcovers are not very big either.
No.
Like, Avengers Disassembled hardcover is 3 issues.
Uh-huh. And same with the Busiek Perez.
Yeah, yep.
Like, it's the first trade, which I think are 6 issues. Now, if you're going to throw in, like, hey, here's 3 trades of the Perez run, that would be good. That would be nice and thick.
Mm-hmm. That's what she said.
Oh,
man. Hey, you said it, not me.
Okay. I know. I fell into it. I get it.
You
I
fell
get
right
it.
Into it, just like she yep. did. Oh! No.
My young. But the yeah. only other comics that I've read is Soul War, The Spectre, and JLA.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. How'd you like that?
That was good. Mm-hmm. That was real fun. Daryl Banks did a bang up job on art, and J.M. DeMatteis was writing his freaking heart out. It was good.
Mm-hmm.
And Spectre freaking rocks.
Spectre does rock.
And I went from there, and right now I'm reading JLA again. JLA The Titans.
Okay.
By Devin Grayson and Phil Jimenez.
Nice.
And that just feels like I'm already on issue 2, and it's only 3 issues, and it's still, honest to God, I can't tell what's going on in it,
mm-hmm.
because it's been an issue and a half of, not recap, roll call and gathering of heroes for an issue and a half. I'm just like, where's the action? Where's the villain? Where, I don't understand what's going on. Oh, dude, I need to put a cherry on the top of this.
Mm-hmm.
Hunt for Wolverine.
Oh, yeah.
This is the never-ending story, never-ending saga. Finally finished it. Finally found out, and you've read it, right?
Mm-hmm.
We finally meet the villain. And she turns out to be a mustache-twirling James Bond villain.
Uh-huh.
Offering Wolverine an ultimatum, and I won't go into the details. I don't want to ruin it for anyone. Offering him an ultimatum that you know he can't take. And it just never felt like there was any consequence. It never felt like there was any debate in my mind the action that he has to take.
Mm-hmm.
After reading this character for decades. Like, why would he ever do that? And this villain is supposed to be smart enough that how could she ever think that he would want to do that? So why would you bring him up into a space station to offer him this when you and him were just down on Earth? You could have just asked him there. Oh, but if we bring him up in that space station, some cool James Bond space station antics can happen and things can go boom and crash around. Okay, let's do that. Like, it just, oh my God, it just became laughable. Like, it was James Bond level laughable. So ridiculous. And I mean, at the very end, I'm just like, well, obviously he's going to come back, right? That's going to happen. We know that. Come on.
You have had quite the roller coaster reading this story, my friend.
Jiminy Christmas.
I'm surprised you stuck with it as long as you have.
Thank you. Dedication, my friend. Dedication. But it was no Spider-Verse.
Yeah.
It was no Nightfall. It was no Secret Wars. Nothing like that. Those were a dream. Those were dream boats to read. Those, edge of the seat, loved them all, couldn't get enough of them, yum, yum, yum.
Well, you know, you know, not everything can be gold. You know what I mean?
Yeah, not everything's for everyone. I'm sure there's listeners out there that are like, no, that was awesome.
No, I don't think there's anybody like that.
Even Steve McNiven's art. What, was he trying something new or different? It just... It looked really rushed. Or maybe it was the inker or the colorist. I'm not sure. It just didn't look like Steve McNiven.
I mean, it could have been the publishing schedule. I think we talked about that, right? Because they... Not only did they add extra stuff to tie into it, but I think even like the main miniseries was supposed to be like 4 issues and they expanded it.
Wow.
Yep.
That's what it felt like. Yeah. It felt very padded.
Well, you know, Wolverine is the cash cow. Well, not anymore. Maybe they learned that after this story.
Maybe. Possibly. I doubt it, though.
I doubt it. But maybe.
But can I share a little, speaking of Secret Wars, holy Christ, what a tangent. You know I love me some Secret Wars.
Mm-hmm.
Love that event. Love it. Still do. Love it. Just speaking of it, now I want to go read it again. And not just the event. I'm talking even all of the tie-ins. Give me all, however many there were, 52 Jesus trades that came Christ. Out. Right now, Comixology has a Secret Wars sale going on.
Uh-huh.
And I was looking through them, and I'm like, did I read that? And then I read the description. It's like, yeah, I did read that. Okay, cool. Oh, joy. Nick found one Secret Wars trade that he did not read.
What? Which one?
The one that's tied into Captain America.
Okay.
Never read it. So I'm uber excited, dude.
Jeez.
And that might, honestly, that might inspire me to go and reread it all yet again.
I haven't looked at their sales in a while. Let me see here.
Put that puzzle piece right back in line. Oh, and just to give you, since you haven't looked at their sales in a while,
mm-hmm.
I don't know if this is a quarantine thing, but DC has gone 50% across the 50% off when they do sales, 50% off. Where they used to do whatever the trade is, whatever the price is, normally it'd be like $4.99 or $6.99 or $9.99. Now they're just doing 50%.
Dang.
Yeah, I know. So I look at some omnibuses, like compendiums, and that $50 compendium is $25. Still a great price for as many issues as you get.
Mm-hmm.
But it ain't $6.99. So that stings just a little. Where you look at Marvel, and Marvel, granted, theirs has definitely stopped doing the flat $4.99
mm-hmm.
for everything that's on sale. But still, if it's a $25 book, instead of $4.99, it'll be $6.99. So it's still like, whatever, 72% off, 83% off, whatever you want to say.
I think I'm going to get in on some of these Secret Wars things.
Hell yeah, brother. Oh my God. Let's go through them. Come on, there's some good ones.
Let's see.
What are you thinking? What are you touching?
I am touching Aliens Vampirella.
No. Secret Wars, dude.
Sorry, that just caught my eye. I've never read that.
Well, you should read that.
I'm going to buy that. Let's see. 1602.
Yes.
I'm going to get that.
That's a good one.
Let's see here. I have Age of Apocalypse. So this Amazing Spider-Man, the what's it called? Renew Your Vows. I did not like that.
No.
Okay, good. So it's not just me.
No, they're not all home runs. Don't get me wrong.
Armor Wars. I don't know if I've read that.
That's passable.
It's passable.
Yeah.
Let's see here. Captain Marvel. Have not read that.
That was a good one. If you like Captain Marvel, that's a good one. I'll tell you Future Imperfect. That was really good.
Ghost Racers. I need to get that.
That was all right. That was okay. That was all right.
No, I'm going to get that.
Okay.
Yeah.
That was okay. Inferno was good. Korvac Saga was good. 1872 was freaking brilliant.
Really?
Yeah, that was unbelievably great.
How is Guardians of Nowhere?
I don't even remember it.
It's got Angela in it.
I know. That's how passable it is. For me.
Yowza.
For me. The Planet Hulk, freaking great. Secret Wars 2099, I love that.
What is this MODOK Assassin?
Yeah. Some of them you just have to pass.
Why is this, why does it look like a three-year-old comic book?
Exactly.
Like a comic for three-year-olds.
Exactly. Spider-Verse, that's a great one. Squadron Sinister, that's a great one. Thor's is brilliant. Weird World, really good. Where Monsters Dwell, I liked it. Years of Future Past, really good. Extinction Saga, it didn't inspire me to go and reread Instinction. It didn't inspire me to do that.
What is this? Wolverine, Old Man Logan. Is this like something else aside from the series? Oh, never mind.
Yeah, that's just a link.
Collects 1 through 5. That's shameful.
Yeah.
This says Wolverine, Old Man Logan, Volume 0. Shame on you, Marvel.
You need some Spider-Verse, I'm telling you.
I have Spider-Verse.
Okay, good.
I don't have Spider Island, though.
I'm looking at it right now. I don't know if I've read this.
I know I haven't read this.
No, I haven't read that.
Ooh, yeah.
I might have read it.
There's Captain Marvel with some spider eyes. Holy shit.
But
there's that black, that Soldier Venom guy.
There you go.
All right. But yeah, I'm going to get that.
You definitely need Squadron Sinister, Thor's, and Weird World. That's for sure.
I'm pretty sure I have Squadron Sinister.
Okay.
I don't think I've gotten there yet. This is alphabetically? How is this sorted? It is alphabetical, kind of.
Sort of.
This is very confusing. Oh, okay. It's alphabetical by trade, and then they do it alphabetical by issue.
There you go.
Yowza. That's a disaster. I'm going to also email Amazon and have them name you Chief Executive Officer of Digital Comic Organization.
Thank you. I'd appreciate it.
Mm-hmm. I do have this Loki one. I like that series.
Yeah,
Agent of Asgard is really good.
Mm-hmm. That. And Planet Hulk War Zones is really good, too.
Oh, Al Ewing wrote it. Hmm.
There you go.
Which one did you say?
Planet Hulk.
Planet Hulk War Zones. Got it.
Yeah, that's a good one. I really like that, and I like Future Imperfect. But, hey, that's me.
You know, I know I've read Future Imperfect, but it says I don't own it. How is this possible?
Future Imperfect Warzone? Did you not read that? Hmm. Peter David, come on.
I could have sworn I read this.
Okay. I'm not going to debate with you.
I mean, I'm not debating with me either. I'm just trying to figure out how I read it. Because it's not in my comiXology that I
but
like, buy
beautiful.
A copy of it?
Maybe.
I'm going to have to go check in my boxes. I don't know, man. I don't think so. Maybe I read it at the comic book store and never bought it.
Gotcha. And shockingly, and I know this is going to surprise the hell out of you, I really enjoyed Age of Ultron versus Marvel Zombies because I liked the weirdness of how that thing was set up. It was so weird.
I don't think I've read that one, but I have read Marvel Zombies before, and it's pretty fun.
Yeah, well, this is like two little islands, the Ultron Island, and then the zombies are trying to invade it.
Oh, I like that.
Yeah.
It's like Land of the Dead.
Mm-hmm. Stephen Pugh. James
pew, pew.
Robinson.
Pew, 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 pew.
You know, our guy, James Robinson.
Oh, James Robinson wrote it. Got it. So it was good, though?
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Okay.
It was a fun ride.
Giant-sized little Marvel AVX. No thanks.
No.
Is this Scotty Young? I'm going to buy this and then fucking burn it. Can you burn a digital comic?
Yeah, just throw your entire laptop into a fire.
God damn it.
You can do that. I'll allow it.
No, I'm not doing that. I will just not buy it.
Good.
God, I don't like that guy. He is like, never mind. We're not going to go there.
Uh-oh.
We had this conversation last time.
Did you look at any of the preview pages for, what was it, 1872?
No.
Oh, it's beautiful.
I don't know.
Yeah, that Nick Vierella?
Mm-hmm.
Nikki Vierella? Oh, man, can she draw. Good God. It's freaking brilliant. So.
Vierella.
Yeah.
Huh. You know, that was the same thing with, what's the other one that I said, 1602? I remember, I got the first issue of that, but that one I knew I got at a comic store.
Sure.
Because I remember seeing it on the rack, and I was like, ooh, what is this? Because it was when they first brought Angela into Marvel, right?
Yep.
Like soon after?
Right.
That was pretty early on. How did that happen? I'm very confused. I'm going to have to look that up. I know that Gaiman owned it. Did they just, mm-hmm. like, buy it from him so that McFarlane would shut the fuck up? Is that what happened?
That would be my guess. Now I want to go back and read Korvac Saga again. I love Wonder Man. He's the best.
Well, sometimes.
Hey, he is. Even when he was doing the acting thing, that was awesome. It was so cheesy.
Sometimes. Sometimes he gets on my goddamn nerves.
Oh, come on. That could just be because it's so dated.
I'm confused, man. I'm reading this thing right now. Gaiman retained full ownership of Angela, so that had nothing to do with it.
Huh.
But a year later, he announced he was returning to Marvel and would bring Angela with him. That seems really sketchy.
Yeah.
I think we should start a conspiracy theory for comic books.
I like it.
This smells like conspiracy.
Let's do it.
Next time we chat, I will have a movie to talk about that's tangentially related.
Oh, cool.
I purchased the final installment of the DC animated Justice League universe, Justice League Dark Apocalypse War.
Okay.
And I'll be watching it tomorrow.
Oh.
I'm
I'd
excited.
Like to know
I got a message from a friend of the show, Greg Katzman, and he's like, Did you get the movie? Because in public we only talk Valiant, but secretly all we talk about is Moon Knight.
That's smart.
But he asked me if I'd watched it, and I said, I haven't watched it. I bought it, but I haven't seen it yet. And he started telling me stuff, and I was like, bro, I don't even read reviews. He's like, okay. He's like, just watch it and let me know when you do, and we'll talk. I said, okay. Apparently, there's some controversy about something in this movie. They made some change from the story. I mean, controversy in comics. Never!
Who would have thought?
Never! But lucky for me, I don't dwell in reviews, so I don't give two shits what anybody says. So I will be maybe surprised? Maybe? I don't know.
Maybe? I can't wait for that review.
They did that with Red Sun, too. I didn't like the changes in Red Sun. Like, some of them worked better for the movie, and I was okay with that. But some things just seemed like they were core enough to the story where they should have stayed there.
Hmm.
Anyways, have you seen that, Red Sun?
No, I have not.
Oh, buddy. Okay.
Oh, wait. No, I have. Yeah, I have.
The animated one.
Yes.
Yeah, we'll see. I'm going to watch Apocalypse War, and it better be good.
It better bring everything to the table.
Not really. I don't give a shit. It seems, I know that they have a budget on these things.
Mm-hmm.
But it seems like animated movies should cost less than live action movies. What do you think?
You think so?
You don't think so?
I would think that would cost a hell of a lot to make. Unless you're comparing a quote unquote movie. Oh, but this movie is the latest Avengers film. That should be more expensive than an animated film. Well, yeah, of course. But I would say a regular movie? No. I would think animation would cost more.
Hmm. Maybe. I don't know. We'll see.
I don't know how that works. That's not my area.
Here's the thing. It was 1999. I don't give a shit that it was 1999. I'm okay with that. I don't know. I just feel like it should have been less. But I hope the story is really good where I'm like, that was 20 bucks well worth spending.
You mean it should be cheaper for the audience, the viewing audience?
I mean, I don't know. For some reason, I feel like the animated movies should be like $14.99.
If you're talking price point, I would agree. Yeah, an animated movie does feel like it should be cheaper.
Right?
Yeah.
I don't know. I don't know about these things. You know what I mean? I just do a podcast. What the hell do I know?
You know plenty.
I know nothing. Holy shit, there's a Civil War box set, and it's $800.
What?
Holy Jesus.
No thank you, good sir.
It is 35 pounds.
I don't even know if I would want to reread that. But that's just me.
Good God. Yeah, it's literally everything. Ooh, and it comes with a sheet with a reading order.
What? Shouldn't that be what the book is? Why am I reading in a reading order?
I mean, it looks like a sheet unless somebody just scanned this from a book.
Jesus Christ.
I can't tell. It's a very good picture, though. Oh, my God. This reading order is like 8 pages. Holy shit. So, actually, people actually bought this. That's good. I'm glad.
Wow.
I would not spend $800 on a collection of anything.
What?
1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10. It's only 11 trades. 11 hardcovers again.
Well, yeah, but don't say you wouldn't spend the money on anything.
Okay, what would I spend it on?
Well, what if it was Batman related or Moon Knight related?
Maybe.
Yeah.
That's possible.
I mean, I think I would pay over cover price to have that IDW Bill Sienkiewicz New Mutants Artist Edition. Sadly, that's out of print. What the hell?
Let's see if Amazon has that. Before anybody... I love how Amazon lets you search for Bill Sienkiewicz with the correct and incorrect spelling. IDW.
Sounds like somebody's artist. Doing search results correct.
Yes, but they cannot implement this on their Comixology product. Bill Sienkiewicz. Which one is it?
Isn't it IDW? It's for New Mutants, I know that. But I could swear that it was IDW, like whatever it's called, Artist Edition.
So I don't see it on here. Nope, that's the Turtles. And this is not it. That's the Epic Collection. Demon Bear! Yeah, it's not on Amazon.
Oh, well.
I was hoping there'd be like a used copy for $3 million.
I'm sure you can find it somewhere.
I'm sure you could.
Somewhere on the internet.
It's available somewhere. So before we leave, I just wanted to briefly touch upon the show that I watched. It's a Netflix. It's called The Midnight Gospel. It is the Midnight craziest Cop. Shit you will ever see.
Never heard of it.
Yes, it's a cartoon, Nick. It's a cartoon. It is, I don't know, 8 episodes, 9 episodes, 10 episodes. I don't know. I've seen the first 3 episodes. It is in the style of, what's that show? Adventure Time. In fact, I think the Adventure Time people are involved with this show. But it is based on a podcast, Duncan Trussell's Midnight, no, Duncan Trussell's Family Hour.
Okay.
Which is like, do you know who Duncan Trussell is?
No.
All right. I had no idea who he was either until this show. But apparently he's been a comedian and writer for like forever, for years. And he started doing this podcast where he like interviews people. And usually it's about like deep topics. Like he's into meditation and stuff like that. So he's got people of all walks of life coming in. And it's not always that kind of thing, right? He brings in like economists and scientists too. And he's got a really weird voice. If you watch this trailer for The Midnight Gospel, the main character, Clancy, that's the guy's actual voice. Like that's, he's not making a voice for this character. That's how he talks in real life. And you're going to be like, there's no effing way. And I am telling you, it is. because he was just on Joe Rogan and that's how he talks.
Oh, wow.
Anyways, so it's based on this podcast. So the audio, once the episode, so there's like an introductory part, and then like the episode starts. So once the episode starts and this character Clancy gets into this simulated world, there's a different simulated world every episode. The rest of the episode is audio clips from a podcast that he did with a particular person.
Wow.
And I'm not going to say who the guests are. I recognized a couple of them. One in particular, if you pay attention to what he says, you will very quickly learn who it is. It's somebody that went to jail as a kid.
Jeez.
Wrongfully convicted. Anyways, so the episodes are like 20, 25 minutes long. Dude, this show is so creative. Like, it is obvious that everybody involved in this show is just, like, dumping trash bags full of mushrooms, like, up their asshole.
Wow.
Because it's, like, very trippy visuals. Like, the situations are ridiculous. Like, let me read you an example of episode 1. The simulator lands Clancy on a zombie-ravaged Earth where he meets the president, who's a fan of drugs and meditation. Or episode 3, Clancy zaps to an underwater planet where he crosses paths with Daryl, a student of ceremonial magic and the path to enlightenment. On a planet populated by baby clowns, Clancy hears a deer dog's thoughts on death as they head to the slaughterhouse. Like, this show is just ridiculous. But it's very creative. Basically, Clancy is like, a simulation farmer, like a dream farmer in space. And he, every day he gets into this simulation machine. He has a computer that he talks to that helps him like find what simulated planet to go into. The simulation machine looks like a giant vagina, that he sticks his head in. And when he does, he gets like shot into the simulation. And he's in space. And part of the shtick is that he does a space cast. So when he lands in the simulated planet and he finds like a person that he wants to talk to, he's got like little GoPro drones or whatever that follow him around. And they're like, it's like a space podcast. You know what I mean? Like he's recording interviews for his space podcast, wow. Or like YouTube channel that like nobody listens to, right? Like he's got like one listener, I think. He names him by name, but, it's really good. And the topics they go into are super weird. The weird thing about the show is you try to figure out, like, you're listening to the words, but the words don't match what you're watching on the TV.
Huh.
But at the same time, they match perfectly. And I don't even know how to describe it. You just need to watch an episode to see what I'm talking about.
How did I discover it?
Oh, there is a YouTube channel that I watch called, what's it called? Psych Substances, where he talks about psychedelics and stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And he and his girlfriend did a review of the show.
Oh, okay.
And I was like, oh, this seems awesome. So I went on Netflix and I started watching it. And it was awesome. But again, like, they're clips from interviews, right? So, like, how do you do a clip of an interview with somebody about psychedelics and meditation where the actual thing that you're watching is them running away and fighting zombies? You see what I mean? Like, yeah. How ludicrous it sounds?
Definitely.
But it's fucking brilliant. So I recommend people watch it if you are cool with being totally weirded out. And let me tell you, Nick, if this show had come out when I was in high school, it would have been the perfect show for me. Because back then, the way we entertained ourselves when we were super high after smoking a joint was we would put on CNN, turn it on mute, and play the music of Snoop Dogg.
Well, I thought that was going to go in a completely different direction, but okay.
Well, see, just like this show is the modern day version of what we did in high school.
Ooh.
Okay.
I thought you were going to say you put on Cowboy Bebop.
Oh, I did watch Cowboy Bebop. That was my jam back then.
Of course it was.
That was when I was into anime. But yes, Duncan Trussell's The Midnight Gospel on Netflix.
That sounds crazy.
It's very good. Do not watch this with your kids. Like, there are cartoons you can watch with your kids, like Regular Show or Adventure Time or whatever. Do not watch this with your kids.
Not approved?
Not approved for children. I mean, unless your kids are, like, in high school, maybe. Then that'd be okay.
Mm-hmm. Gotcha.
But that's it. That's all I got, Nick.
Well, I love it. That's plenty.
It's a lot.
Yeah.
It's a lot.
You've been a very busy boy.
I'm always a busy boy.
And I hope you get 2 weeks off. That'd be great.
I can only dream, Nick.
Yeah.
The likelihood of that happening grows exponentially smaller as the number of days I request increases.
I think you'll be lucky if you get a week. I see it being 3 days. Tell me it'll be a week, but then a huge emergency happens and we need you in Thursday. Can you come in by 2:00?
Nope, fuck that. If I'm going to get a vacation, it will be a full week.
I'm just saying.
A full week. We'll see. I'll let you know on Monday. Ha ha!
Please do.
That's it. That's going to wrap up the show. We went longer than I thought, man. I thought you had to leave early. We still did 2 hours.
Oh, yeah. We rocked it out, son.
And you didn't have to use the bathroom.
I know. Look at me. Well, that's why I was running late, because I did use the bathroom.
Anyways, that's going to be it for us. What do I usually do on the show? We haven't recorded in like 3 years. I don't even know how the show
goes. You've been listening to the Nerdy Legion podcast with your host, Martin Ferretti. Find him on the Twitter machine at Geekvine. Or you can write to the show, hello@nerdylegion.com. Or you can... Hey, hold on.
I thought you were done. I don't know.
I'm just a lowly servant. Your lowly servant.
No.
The one with the handkerchiefs and neckerchiefs.
And pompadour. Give him your Twitter.
Hello, Nick Wetmore. Till next time, Legionnaires.